Amen. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for that. Let's take the Word of God and let's go to the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 1. Now, if you have a hard time finding it, just go to Matthew and go back a little bit, all right? And you will come to the book of Habakkuk. And this morning I preached a message that God had put on my heart, and I had really labored with that, and I'm thankful for the Lord's blessing, and it's still in my heart. But I do believe God has led me now, because we talked this morning about really a burden for revival. A burden for, and sometimes I think we have the idea revival is something so far out there that we'll never attain to revival, but you can have revival today. We can have a personal revival when we are right with God. But I want to come to the book of Habakkuk, because Habakkuk, here this prophet, is prophesying about the people of God are going to be put into captivity because of their disobedience to God. And Habakkuk is burdened. And I want to preach to you tonight on this subject, a burden for God to work. And really, we will never experience revival until we are burdened. And by the way, tonight, I really believe this. We ought to be burdened tonight, because we're not burdened. We ought to be troubled tonight because we're not troubled. We ought to be disturbed tonight because we are not disturbed. And I'm not talking about troubling in a wrong way, but troubled about our own condition as well as the condition of our church and the condition of our country. We ought to be burdened for God to work. And Habakkuk, he knows that God's judgment is coming, and he is burdened for God to work. So we're going to begin a series on Sunday nights from the book of Habakkuk. Now, the book of Habakkuk is one of the 12 minor prophets. And they referred to as the minor prophets, not because of the message, but because of the length of this book. It's a very short book. Habakkuk is only 3 chapters long, and it's a very short book. But it has a major message. Every book of the Bible has a major message. And really, the book of Habakkuk, the major message that we find is actually found in chapter 2 in verse number 4. Let me show this to you before we begin in chapter 1. And tonight, I'm going to kind of give you a message that's an overview of the book of Habakkuk, and then we'll begin next week as we look at it chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Habakkuk chapter 2 in verse 4, the Bible says, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him." Now look at this phrase, "but the just shall live by his faith." That's the message of the book of Habakkuk. On the eve of captivity, on knowing that judgment is coming, how do we live? The just shall live by his faith. And brethren, America is not going to escape the judgment of God. We understand that. But brethren, can I tell you, on that very thought, how shall we live? The just shall live by his faith. Now let's go to Habakkuk chapter 1, and let's begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did," what's the next word? He did not say the burden which he felt. The burden, he was just, you know, sometimes I think that we can almost become emotional about things and it's not really a burden from God. And Habakkuk here is burdened from what he sees, not from what he feels, not from what he thinks. He's burdened from what he sees. Verse 2, he says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, We shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as an eagle that hasted to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing that his power is unto his God. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art a purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no rule over them. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? Let's go to chapter 2. We'll read just a few more verses. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me, and said, write the vision, and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Tonight I want to preach to you a burden for God to work. Let's pray together. Father, I am burdened tonight for you to work. Lord, I believe that I'm standing before people here tonight that are burdened for you to work. And God, you know what we deal with. You know the spiritual warfare that we encounter day by day. But Lord, I pray tonight that there would be a stirring in our hearts, and that, God, we would be burdened for you to work, that we would desire and have a desperate cry for revival. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you that you are at work. Thank you that you do come down and meet with us. We ask you to do that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. We find in the book of Habakkuk that Habakkuk the prophet is burdened. Now, he knows what's coming. He knows that judgment is coming to his people. And God said, by the way, they had every opportunity to turn to the Lord, but they would not turn to God. And God brought his judgment out of love, out of mercy. In fact, later on, we will find in the book of Habakkuk that Habakkuk prayed, in wrath, remember mercy. He said, God, in your judgment, remember mercy. And I'm thankful for the mercy of God tonight. But brethren, tonight we see that Habakkuk had a burden for God to work. Now, understand, the Babylonians were coming down. They were going to descend upon the nation of Judah, and they were going to destroy it. They were going to take the people of God captive to the land of Babylon. The temple of the Lord would be ransacked and destroyed. And Habakkuk knew that this was coming. God told him, and Habakkuk is burdened, and Habakkuk is desiring for God to work in the midst of what seems as if there can be no good come from it. You know, I think we often have the ideal that in order for God to work, there has to be certain things in place. And almost, we can almost think, boy, this is a good time for God to work. Brethren, can I tell you that God can work at any time in our country? God can work at any time in your life. In fact, this morning when I talked about the Welsh revival of 1904, One commentary on that stated that right before the Welsh Revival took place, it was some of the darkest time in history, because during that time, religion was dead. There was atheism was spreading throughout the land. It was a dark time spiritually, and there was a man that had a burden for God to work. Can I tell you what God is looking for tonight? He's looking for men and women that have a burden for Him to work. May God give us a burden tonight. May God help me to have a burden. Listen, I do not want to live in a state of where we're just complacent as Christians, to where we just accept the status quo, that we almost are content. Well, this is how it's always been, and we just might as well be content with this. We need men and women and young people tonight that have a burden for God to do His work. And that's what I find with Habakkuk. He said the burden, which Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 1, the prophet did see. Now, by the way, here's something wonderful about the book of Habakkuk. We are listening to a conversation in these three chapters that a man has with God. It's very precious, because God has recorded Habakkuk's conversation so that we can hear it and we can heed it. In fact, here was a prophet that was a man with a burden. Can I tell you this? No one is really used of God unless they have a burden for God to work. No one. Do you know that anything that is ever done for God began with a burden? You know, for years ago, when the bus ministry was kind of in its heyday and all of that, can I tell you where that started? A man had a burden for God to do a work. And God did a work. I'm thankful we have the Bible Club. But can I tell you, I'm thankful that we've had people that had a burden for God to do a work in the public schools. I want us to do more for the Lord, but we are grateful for what God has allowed us to do. But it always begins with a burden. It begins with desiring to be right with God and have a burden. In fact, we should have a burden to be right with God. We need a burden for those in our homes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We need a burden, parents, that we desire for our children to follow after Jesus Christ. We need a burden for our church to be the kind of church that obeys God. We need a burden for our nation to turn to the Lord, but it begins with a burden. And tonight, if we don't have a burden, then we need to pray that God will give us the burden. A burden that we see, not that we have some emotion. A lot of churches today are moving into sensationalism. It's almost moving into a soulless church, where it's all about the soul. It's all about the feeling and the emotion, and almost it's almost an entertainment. It's almost something to hype you up, and it makes you feel good. But brethren, can I tell you that there is a feeling that comes with being right with the Lord and following Jesus Christ, but it begins not with a feeling, it begins with a burden. A burden for God to work. It's not a burden for us to be elevated. Not a burden for us to be noticed. It's a burden that we say, I want God to do something in this matter. A burden for God to work. And Habakkuk was that kind of a man. In fact, Habakkuk's burden was a desire for the Lord to move mightily in the hearts of the people. This was a burden that he saw, not felt. His burden was for God to do what only God could do. You know, tonight, do you have that burden? That I want God to do what only God can do. And let us be careful. Let us not think, well, I don't think God can do a work here. Listen, that is unbelief, really. Brethren, it doesn't matter where or when, God can do a work. In fact, you know, you look at some of the revivals of the years gone by, and do you know often where they began? It was in places that you thought nothing ever could come good from that. But God brought a great revival. Because God is able. Let us have a burden for God to do His work. Now I want you to notice three things tonight. Number one, let's notice the condition of this nation. Now what was their condition? Well, they were in a condition of disobedience. They were in a condition that they were not right with God. They were following after the ways of false gods and idols. In fact, in the book of Jeremiah, we get a little bit of an insight into Habakkuk's day and what was going on. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter number 36, if you would please. Now, please understand something about Jeremiah and Habakkuk. They both served the Lord under King Jehoiakim. Just as Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was preparing for his army to conquer Judah and to take the people captive. But what about this King Jehoiakim? Well, King Jehoiakim was not a good king. In fact, we're going to see something in Jeremiah chapter number 36, and let's begin in verse number 20. Now, please understand, I would love to read the whole chapter, but these are the words of God that we find in Jeremiah chapter 36. Notice what it says. Jeremiah 36, verse 20. And they went in to the king into the court, and they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudah to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber, and Jehudah read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudah had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. And look in verse 25. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king, nor any of his servants that heard all of these words. Now, let me explain to you. Do you know what they ripped up? Do you know what the king cut with the penknife and threw in the fire? It was the prophecy that judgment was coming. It was the prophecy that if they did not turn to God in repentance and in obedience, God was going to judge them by allowing the Babylonians to come in. Do you know that they could have prevented what was this captivity going to happen? They could have prevented God's judgment, but they had no fear of God before their eyes. And the king took it, and he ripped it up, and he threw it in the fire, and it burnt. Brethren, can I help you understand something tonight? By their actions, you know what they were declaring? We will not have God, and we will not have God's word. We're not going to have God. We're not going to have God's word. This is the condition of these people. Habakkuk saw the darkness all around him, and he was burdened for God to do a work. He said, God, our people are not right with you. Our people need revival. He was burdened. And by the way, when the Babylonians came in to take them captive, Psalm chapter 137, I want you to turn there, because this records, in Psalm chapter 137, it records their thoughts on being held captive by the Babylonians. I'm giving you some groundwork here tonight that I pray God can use in the weeks to come as we study this book. Psalm chapter 137. Now, this is the people's words on what has now happened. Remember the king, Jehoiakim. He took the scroll. It was God's judgment. God was saying, unless you turn, I am going to send judgment. And they ripped it up and threw it in the fire. And then judgment came. And now, here's what the people say. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom, in the day of Jerusalem, who said, Razit, Razit, even to the foundation thereof, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed. Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Think of the darkness. Think of what they are dealing with. The Bible says they wept there. But now the weeping. They could have listened. The condition of these people. It was a bad place of their disobedience to God. But brethren, I want you to think with me tonight about our nation. I want you to think about how our nation has turned from God. You know what I'm thankful to know tonight? That there is still a remnant in America who has faith in Jesus Christ. There's always a remnant. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? I think of our founding fathers that bowed their knees and gave thanks to God and all the wickedness that takes place. Brother, we need to think about the condition of the nation of Judah because it is much like our condition today. Secondly, we not only notice the condition of these people, we notice the cry for God. Let's go back to Habakkuk, would you please, in chapter 1. We notice their cry. Now, Habakkuk's burden gave him a desperate heart. And out of that desperate heart, he cried out to God. This morning I talked about that when God comes down, and God does want to come down, but I believe he waits for our cry. In fact, you remember this morning when I read to you out of Isaiah chapter 64 that there was no one who prayed to the Lord. No one turned to God. They needed a burden. And brethren, we need a burden for God to do His work. And that burden is a cry unto God. Notice what Habakkuk asked God to do. Now remember, we're giving an overview here. So let's go to Habakkuk chapter number 3, if you would please. Habakkuk chapter number 3. Out of this desperate heart, he cried out to God. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Can I tell you what Habakkuk, out of a desperate cry unto God, he asked for one thing, and what that one thing was, revival. He said, God, revive thy work. And brethren, as I talked about this morning, what we need more than anything is for God to do his work in our lives and his work in our church. And we must allow him to do his work. Listen, brethren, God is wanting to come down and bless us. God is wanting to come down and use us to reach souls for Jesus Christ. He wants to use us. The problem is not with God. The problem is with us and our unwillingness and our rebellion unto God. So what did Habakkuk cry? He asked God for revival. His request for revival touched the heart of their deepest need. Because they had forsaken God and they must return to God. Brethren, let's be honest tonight. You can forsake God and still come to church. You can forsake God and still be a good Christian per se. You can be backslidden on God and still do all the religious functions. Think about David. David, for a year of his life, the Psalms tell us that David was away from God. And David was living in disobedience to God and unconfessed sin in his life. Habakkuk said, God, what we need is for you to revive thy work. By the way, can I ask you something tonight? Are you lacking the burden for God to do his work? Do you think that God cannot do His work today? Do you think that the revivals of the past are just something of the past and that no longer can God do His work? Let us pray tonight that God would give us a burden. And by the way, let's make it specific. God, give me the burden for what you would have me to do. God, I'm burdened for you to work. Last Wednesday, I told you my wife and I were able to be in the teen group And I got to preach in there. It brought back lots of memories about being a youth pastor, you know, and I enjoyed being with them. But can I tell you, I left Wednesday night so burdened for our young people. I left burdened. I told my wife, I said, I'm just burdened for them. I'm burdened for God to work in their lives. I'm burdened for them to yield themselves to Jesus Christ. There's a burden. Brother, let us ask God to give us a burden. A burden. You know, by the way, I'll say this. God does not put in our heart a judgmental, critical spirit, because that's not a burden. A burden is, I see something that I want God to do. And how could God use me to accomplish what He wants to do? That was Habakkuk's cry. By the way, Charles Finney said this, a revival is a new beginning of obedience to God. I like that. That's really what revival is. But revival begins in the heart of individuals when they have a burden for God to do a work. You know, I'll tell you, anybody can have a burden for God to do the work. I've known of young people to have a burden to reach their classmates for Jesus Christ. I've known of men to work in factories to have a burden for the men that work around them, for them to come to know the Lord, and God has used them. But what we lack today is a burden from God. So let us pray, God, give us your burden. We see the condition of these people, the cry for God, but I want you to notice thirdly and lastly, our confidence upon God. Now Habakkuk came to a place of dependence upon God. Only God, no one else, and nothing else but God. Look in Habakkuk chapter 3, and I want us to look in verse number 17. Now, brethren, Habakkuk knew that judgment was coming. Habakkuk knew that nothing was going to stop the judgment of God at this point. Remember, the king took that scroll, the judgment that was prophesied, and ripped it up and threw it in the fire. But I want you to notice what he comes to. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Now, verse 17, I don't know that many people take that as their life verse, all right? Because it's not very encouraging, is it? Habakkuk said, let me tell you what it's going to be like. This is the reality. But look what he says in verse 18. You ought to underline or circle this little word, yet. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And He will make my feet like hinds' feet. And He will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Now let me tell you something. This is pretty amazing. Because Habakkuk said, look, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be no herd in the stall. There's going to be there's going to be no fruit on the vines. There's going to be no fig tree. They're not going to blossom. Listen, everything is going to be desolated. That's what's going to happen. Habakkuk said, this is the reality. This is what we are dealing with. And you know what? Habakkuk is not saying, Lord, when all this gets better, then I will rejoice. Then God will do a work. No, in the midst of the destruction, in the midst of the darkness, God do a work. And he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You know what Habakkuk was saying? I only have God to turn to. I have nothing else. Do you know, I believe that the Lord works in our lives to continually bring us to the place to where we have nothing and no one but God. To where our hope is not in man. Our hope is not in a better day. Our hope is not in finances. It is not in health. It is not in friendships. Our only hope is in God. And that's what Habakkuk is saying. Yet, he said, there's nothing. Everything's going to be desolated. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Brethren, I believe God is working to bring you and me to a place of total dependence on Him. I can look back over my life And I remember when I got saved as a teenager that, you know, we try to live the Christian life in our own strength, do we not? And I remember I tried to live the Christian life in my own strength. And you know what I came to the place of? I can't live the Christian life. Only Jesus can live the Christian life. And I must live in dependence upon Him. When I was in Bible college, I came to the place where, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do what You've given me to do. I can't work and go to college and classes and get the grades and all that. I had to come to a place of dependence. When I became a youth pastor, you know what I came to the place? Lord, I can't do this. I need You. Lord, I need direction. I need guidance. When I became a pastor, listen, all of life is bringing us to the place to where no matter what we are going through, we must live in dependence upon the Lord. Now, brethren, tonight, nothing is going to be accomplished for God unless we have a burden. You know, dads, can I encourage you with something? Nothing is going to be right in your family until you get a burden for your family. A burden to lead your home. A burden for your children to follow Jesus Christ. They have their own accountability to God. But men, we ought to have a burden. Women, you ought to have a burden for your husband and a burden for your children and a burden for the young ladies of our church. And church, we ought to have a burden for the lost in our county and the lost in our city and the lost at your job place. We need a burden for God to do a work because nothing is accomplished without a burden. It begins with a burden. Tonight, I want that burden. And we ought to have a burden for what God can do. A burden for God to revive His work. Brethren, tonight, do you have that burden from God? The Bible says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. It was something that God put in his heart. A burden for God to do His work. Tonight, I think we ought to pray as a church. I think we ought to pray as married couples. God, give me a burden for You to work. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight.